The Public News Service NOAA Newscast, October the 11th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. The back to forth in Maryland over the pre-processing of mail-in ballots is over, now that the state's highest court has weighed in.
Earlier this year, the Maryland legislature passed a bill to permit the pre-processing of mail-in ballots, but the measure was vetoed by Governor Larry Hogan. In September, the State Board of Elections filed a petition in circuit court seeking emergency relief after the increase in mail-in ballots during the July primary led to delays in reporting election results. Judge James Bonifant overturned the state law, and the pre-processing of ballots was set to begin October 1st. Republican gubernatorial candidate Dan Cox appealed the decision first to the Special Court of Appeals and, when unsuccessful there, to the State Court of Appeals, which on Friday cleared the way for the pre-processing of mail-in ballots to begin as they are received. Emily Scar with the Maryland chapter of the Public Interest Research Group says the change being sought was not a partisan issue.
The Board of Elections is a Republican Board of Elections, right? It's three Republicans, two Democrats, appointed by Hogan. Generally, they act in a bipartisan manner. The support for pre-processing was unanimous.
While the processing of ballots will be ongoing, election results will not be released before the polls close on Election Day. Brett Pivato reporting.
Community service agencies in New England say requests for home heating assistance were increasing even before National Grid announced energy prices would jump nearly 60% by November.
Requests for help with the cost of delivered fuels like home heating oil are also unusually high, with prices expected to jump 30% in the next few months. Mary Niddle is Director of Energy Resources at Worcester Community Action Council, which serves Western and Central Massachusetts. She says on top of the thousands of applications already processed, the number of first-time applicants asking for help with delivered fuel costs compared to last year is up more than 200%.
It's palpable, really, how anxious people in the community are about it. And probably a lot of folks who maybe never thought they'd need the help are going to apply for the first time.
But Niddle wants people to know the income eligibility to participate in the fuel assistance program is quite high. A family of four can earn up to $81,000 and still receive a benefit. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Now from NBC News, leaders of major civil rights organizations Monday condemned Senator Tommy Tuberville, a Republican of Alabama, for suggesting at a Trump rally over the weekend that descendants of black slaves are criminals in remarks about reparations. The NAACP president, Derek Johnson, said Senator Tuberville's comments are flat-out racist, ignorant, and utterly sickening. This is PNS. A new study says that climate change made this summer's drought conditions in the Northern Hemisphere 20 times more likely. The findings underscore concerns among Minnesota farmers.
The study was issued by a group of scientists under the World Weather Attribution. It comes amid a dry harvest season for Minnesota farmers, with dozens of counties in some form of drought. Ann Schwagel, a farmer from the state's western region, says she expects a lower yield this fall because of the conditions.
It's this like whiplash feeling going from a very wet spring, and then it's like the spigot got turned off.
Schwagel, who also is vice president of the Minnesota Farmers Union, hopes the ag industry further embraces steps to reduce its carbon footprint. As the new farm bill is crafted, she suggests increased spending for conservation programs and a stronger safety net when considering crop insurance. I'm Mike Moen.
And despite their climate pledges, Eric Kanoff tells us that many utilities are not moving away from fossil fuels very quickly. That's according to a new report.
The Sierra Club conducted a follow-up analysis to its 2021 report on the 50 utility companies most invested in coal and gas. It found that companies are doing a marginally better job moving toward clean energy. The analysis looked at two utilities operating in Idaho, PacifiCorp and Idaho Power. Lisa Young with the Idaho chapter of the Sierra Club says market forces are trending toward more affordable renewable energy.
The utilities are starting to get the picture and move in the right direction, but certainly not fast enough. We see utilities like PacifiCorp that really don't have any major carbon reduction and climate plans to the scale and speed that we need.
Sierra Club graded utilities based on their commitment through 2030 to phasing out coal, plans to build gas plants that negatively impact the climate, and plans for clean energy. In its analysis, PacifiCorp improved from an F grade to a D, and Idaho Power improved from F to C.
Finally, Eric Lattis tells us a new Pew Charitable Trust report, tapping mountains of GPS collar tracking data and other science, offers a roadmap for protecting big game in Wyoming and across the West.
Joy Bannon with the Wyoming Wildlife Federation says the study confirms that migration is a critical survival tool for mule deer, elk, and other ungulates. Migration helps animals find shelter in winter and catch the green wave of sprouting vegetation in springtime.
These animals are moving to follow the groceries. Just like humans, when we're fed and we have enough water, we have more energy, we're stronger. And in this case, they can have the ability to get pregnant, have healthier young, and then also, of course, survive the winter.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. You can hear us at great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.